Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we communicate it today, that you'll give us clarity, that you'll give us understanding, that you'll give us that conviction that only the work of your Holy Spirit can do. In Jesus' name. One writer has put, "Peace does not lie in getting God to give me other circumstances. Peace lies in finding God in these circumstances." And so often the challenge is that we want to think about other circumstances, and we think, if this person changed, then my life would be more peaceful. And that reflects one of our deepest desires, really, which is that sense of peace. And we know we'd love to see peace out there, wouldn't we? When we think of the stuff of Ukraine, it's only one of many conflicts around the world. And I don't know about you, but it's so easy for our hearts to sink when we click on the news or scroll on the news and just see some of those events. Recently, we gave to this couple, Sergey and Vera, who I've known for almost 30 years. They were in Kiev. I'm going to read a little statement from them for a minute. And we gave to them, and it's right to do that. And it's important that we support, because they were not in a situation of peace. This is what they're saying. "We are currently in a less secure place. We're trying to catch up with people, and I teach them some subjects intensively. It distracts me a little from the war. There is good news. Ours are knocking out Russians near my house and the Bible college. If there is a complete cleaning of the territory, I will most likely return to Kiev in 2 weeks, although there is no electricity, gas, or water. Please pray for us and for God's will in this matter. We also continue to gather every evening with the church on Zoom and pray for Ukraine. We help those who need help, as some were left homeless when they were bombed. Thank God everyone is alive. There are several members of our church who serve in the territorial defense and the armed forces of Ukraine. Please pray for them too." And we understand the need for peace out there, don't we? We see it on our news screens. Most of us, if we're honest, want to consider about peace in here as well. And for many people, particularly over the last couple of years, that area of mental health and that anxious tape, that soundtrack that plays in people's life, is so often about anxiety and fear and worry and uncertainty. It's like a song that's played on repeat. And if we're honest, we hope for peace in our relationships as well. There's not one of us that isn't affected by somewhere in our family there's friction. Somewhere in our family, there's strife. Somewhere in our family, somebody won't speak to someone. And for those planning weddings, it's always difficult. Who can we sit beside so-and-so, isn't it? We never had any arguments in our preparation to get married until it came to seating arrangements for our families. Some of you know what we're talking about. We understand in our relationships. What gives you hope? We're going to watch a little 1 minute 30 video, people talking. They've been interviewed on the street. It's part of this Hope Explored course that we're doing. So they give a little bit of their comments about what gives them hope in their circumstance. Thank you.
I don't know, like looking at the future.
My grandchildren, family.
Good vibes, good people around of me, always being positive. Food sometimes is weird kind, but yes, food makes me feel good as well.
I do not really know. Nothing particular, but my experience in life makes me hopefully everything went well.
Gosh, that's such a big question. I mean, the people around me coming into university every day and, you know, continuing to work for the goals that we have together. And, like, I don't know, it feels like we're all a team kind of going through the stuff that we're doing together. I don't know. Like, obviously we're all concerned about the world around us, but it gives me hope that we're all doing small things, you know, and still doing things for our future.
You got me on the spot. What hope? I just hope the COVID goes away, I suppose.
wonder how you would answer that question, what gives you hope? We looked a little bit last week at this idea that the Christian hope is distinctive, it's different. It's a joyful expectation of the future based on events in the past that helps us in the present. It's important that we realize that Christian hope is distinctive, it's different. And one of the things about the hope that we have, and the Christian hope means, as David said earlier, is that we can have peace with God. For many people, peace is very elusive, either within themselves or within their family circumstances, and certainly in the world around us that we can't control. But as David read earlier, those verses from Luke 19, Jesus said, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace." He's speaking that to Jerusalem, to the Jewish nation. He said, "You of all people should know that I long to give you peace." And in fact, he uses an image a little bit earlier. He says, "I'd long to gather you like a hen would gather her children, just to protect you, to have you close, to nurture you, to keep you in a place of safety." But you wouldn't want that. Jesus wants us to understand the way of peace. In fact, he said in Luke 19, "The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." That's why we celebrate Easter. That's part of his mission, part of Jesus' expectation, his understanding. It wasn't to be a political ruler or a king that would overthrow the Romans, but the presence of peace. And that's not simply a warm feeling in our tummy. Maybe like that, you can identify with that girl. "Oh, food works for me." Food is good, isn't it? We all like a good meal. It gives us that warm feeling in the tummy, but it doesn't last because we get hungry again, don't we? See, the peace Jesus gives is not simply a warm feeling. It's wholeness, it's peace, it's tranquility, it's safety. And that's exactly the word behind that Jesus would have used in the day. And some of you may recognize it and have heard it said, shalom. You've heard people say shalom. It's not simply peace. It's not simply a greeting of hello. It's that idea of wholeness. It's of a tranquility. It's more than ceasefires that we settle for. You know, in some relationships, it's just ceasefires that we're settling for. Is there any hope of real peace? We all want peace, but the problem is we often want it in our own terms. Think of what's happening in Ukraine. Yeah, we'll give you peace. Put on our terms. Isn't that what's happening? Isn't that what Putin's trying to say? Yeah, you can have peace, but on my terms. And truthfully, if we're honest, we're no different, because what we often come to do, either in relationships and certainly in relationship with God, is we say, "My rules, my life." I've never seen a t-shirt with that on it, but I think for lots of people, that's what they would have on their t-shirt. "My life, my rules." Because basically we want things to run our own way, don't we? We want our own way with things. We want to do things our own way. And even we've said that to God. "Do you know what, God? I'll sort this out. I'll do this my way." There's even a song about it, isn't there? Yeah. Because that is human nature. That's what we try to do. My life, my rules. But the problem is when we come into contact with the other people who want their life and their rules, there's going to be a clash, isn't there, when we meet? Now, of course, we're not all bad all of the time. That's not what happens. We are capable of great good. But in our honest moments, we all have to recognize that there's something inside of us that, left to its own devices, is basically selfish. It's basically self-centered. At the very least, we are self-interested and want to preserve my life, my rules, my way. And I'm sure that filters into all areas of our life. And that means sometimes we hurt the people we love the most because we say, "Well, my life, my rules, I can do what I want." And maybe for some people, even as David was talking about giving, you're thinking, "What's my money? I can do what I want." My life, my rules. Jesus says, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace." You see, that attitude, "my life, my rules," is what the Bible calls sin. Not a very popular word, but it's a Bible word. And it's a word where we fall short of God's standards because we do keep God at a distance and we say, my life, my rules. And we forget that we're made in the image of God. We are created by God to live in relationship with Him. That's what God wants for us. So when we say, my life, my rules, we are actually falling short of God's standard. It's not about murdering someone or robbing a bank or doing something really bad. It's actually when we fail to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength. When we fail to say, my life, but your rules. Because we're made in God's image. So what is the way to peace? How do we have that peace with God? Jesus explains that. If you have your Bible, it's Luke 23. And the next slide shows, for those of you who don't have a physical Bible, if you go on to the next slide for me, you can read along. If you have a smartphone, then there's a couple of apps that are things that you can do online that you can follow along even now as we do that. The YouVersion Bible app, you can download it on the App Store. You can go to YouVersion.com. It's a very simple way to follow along if you don't have a physical Bible, and useful for you for listening and for watching some stuff and following along. So if you're not used to having a Bible with you in church, that's fine. And you can do it electronically as well. And Bible Gateway is an online way to do that. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 23. And we're going to pick up at verse 32. It's a little piece of the story of the crucifixion. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. And when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he really is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God? Even when you've been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed the last. As we head into the Easter week, as we head into the most important week in the Christian calendar, we find Jesus led out of the city to be hung on a cross. Criminals are sentenced to death with him. Maybe they're murderers, maybe they were thieves, maybe they were local terrorists that happened. The Romans were brutal in their treatment of that. But Jesus has been cast out of society, and these guys have been nailed on a cross to slowly suffocate. That's how it happened. It was a barbaric way of executing people. And yet in the midst of this, Jesus promised this guy peace. Isn't that incredible? Jesus promised peace. Jesus promised paradise, that harmony, that wholeness, that relationship with God. So how can one man who's dying offer another man a sense of peace? In the verses leading up to it, Luke talks about a number of things. We find the way of peace when we acknowledge our wrongdoing. The guy says, don't you fear God? We're punished justly. We've done wrong. He was very aware of that. We're getting what our deeds deserve. He doesn't say, look, I'm a victim. I'm innocent. You know, it's these Romans. His heart really has been exposed in these most terrible circumstances. And he realizes that he's made mistakes, that he's failed, that he's fallen short. He realized that the problem in his world is not everyone else, but actually it's the condition of his own heart. And there's something in how he meets Jesus and sees Jesus. Maybe he was part of that party that has walked to the cross. Maybe he's seen some of the background and the circumstances of how Jesus died. We don't know, but there was something in his experience of Jesus that he knew Jesus had done no wrong. But he had. See, Christianity will never make sense until you get to the point where you acknowledge your wrongdoing. Never makes sense. Until you get to the point where you say, actually, I've been living my life, my rules. It doesn't make sense otherwise. It doesn't make sense until you acknowledge, actually, I've fallen short of God's standard. I haven't loved Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my my strength and my mind. And this idea of sin, it's not palatable in our culture, is it? No one likes to be called out. No one likes to be corrected. No one likes to think that there could be anything bad. We live in a world that really laughs at this idea of sin. And one of the criminals laughed at sin as well. But that doesn't change the truth that we have all fallen short. That we actually do need a Savior. That we do need someone to die in our place because of the way we've lived our life. That's really the first step. Acknowledging that we have done wrong. It's not a pleasant step, but until we acknowledge the bad news, we'll never be able to accept the good news. That's our starting point. We find the way to peace when we acknowledge our wrongdoing. The second thing is we find the way to peace when we recognize Jesus as King.